The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and happy Monday to you all. And for the next 5 days, I'll be here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be talking about a variety of different ways to support your good health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Morning, Janet. If you missed, I don't know, was it Friday's show, and you mentioned it at the seminar we gave on Saturday, that you have freed up some of your time.
I've been telling people I am at liberty. That's a very nice way to say I am currently self-employed, let's say. That's something that pretty much I've done over the years, kind of being independent. But I had, as many of our listeners know, I had been associated with Tooney's Nutrition Centers. And as of last Thursday, that association has ended, and as I said, I'm at liberty. And so, at the seminar, I was talking about a wide range of different approaches that the Institute of Advanced Medicine is going to be using, and all of them, natural substances to support your good health, but delivered in a specific way, intravenously.
There are so many effective treatments that insurance does not cover, and they do not cover it deliberately because it goes against the pharmaceutical industry, basically.
And it works. They work.
Well, they work. The reason they have withstood the test of time, so to speak, is because they work, and they work without side effects. See, that's the difference between using natural substances and using man-made artificial substances. They may, the man-made artificial substances are targeting symptoms, whereas the natural substances are supporting your own body's immune system and other functions in the body to make it work better and help the body heal itself. I just want to say, too, when we like doing the seminars, at least I do, because that's our way of communicating with the public and getting an idea what they're thinking about. And I came to realize, a lot of people don't realize, we take most insurances. Insurance these days, health insurance, is very confusing. For example, if I say I take Blue Cross, which we do, but within Blue Cross, there are so many subcategories that we don't take everyone. I could say we take, what are some of the other ones that have become so confusing?
United Healthcare.
I think United Healthcare, we take most of them. Cigna, we take. Aetna, we take. But there are some, and we definitely take Medicare. But within Medicare, people have been tricked into buying Medicare HMOs, but they don't call it an HMO. They call it like Medicare Advantage or things like that. And then you become limited. And that limitation is those doctors, those providers for those types of Medicare HMOs, limit, access to many tests that you might want to do. Well, they limit the access out of ignorance because they don't know they're available and they wouldn't know what to do with it anyway. anyway, so if you'd like to really find out and take control of your health by getting the information you need, because you have to remember, drugs are not what's going to make you healthy. It's first understanding how you're mistreating your body. Even though you might think you're doing a good job treating your body, you want to make sure you're not missing anything. That's where the testing comes in. You might get the feedback that something is off, and then you can make the changes and correct it. Mainstream medicine doesn't do all those tests, because all they want to do with the test is determine what drugs to prescribe for you.
That's why those blood test reports are very slim.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of them, but
right.
There's a whole lot of things to do. I'll give you a few examples of a few things. I think more and more doctors, for example, are testing vitamin D levels now, which is a good thing.
More and more doctors over the past few years have begun testing A1C levels, and A1C was something that we were talking about in the late 1990s. So it's a pretty extensive time period before the medical community caught up.
But they still haven't caught up to testing fasting insulin levels, which is going a step further to identify people at risk. See, they want to test A1C levels to identify people who have diabetes so they can prescribe a drug for it. We want to check insulin levels, specifically fasting, because then we can identify people at risk of developing diabetes in the future while you have time to reverse the process. So that's the difference.
I don't think there's very much hope for the medical community to test fasting insulin levels, because I'm not necessarily seeing an advantage focusing their efforts toward a specific blood sugar balancing medication, because what they do with their medications is raise insulin levels.
Exactly. Plus, it would take time to explain things to the patient, which they don't take. You know, if you see 40 patients a day, you can do the calculation, just how much time they have to spend with a patient, just enough time to write out a prescription. Plus, they don't follow the patients closely enough. And then the thing that bothers, that also bothers me, as physicians, I think your goal should be, number one, to keep people healthy, and number two, to help people if they get sick, with the safest, number one, safest, in other words, they said, doctor, first do no harm. So the safest approach, and then the most effective. And that's not what's going on. And then I see, you know, why do doctors get into the field? So then doctors get into fields like plastic surgery, dermatology, where they can literally see, not the plastic surgeons, but the dermatologists, 50, 60 patients a day, because all they're doing is looking at a little spot on the skin and giving you an ointment for it.
Most likely a corticosteroid-based ointment.
Well, you know, there's a saying in dermatology, and if there are any dermatologists listening, they may or may not agree.
Forgive me? No.
But this is what they used to say, in medical school and things, in dermatology. They say, if the wound or the rash is wet, then you use a drying agent. If it's dry, you use a wetting agent. And if it's neither of the above, you use a steroid.
Okay, simplifies life,
but
doesn't it?
But they've got a little fancy now. In between, they'll do a biopsy and send it out. But they're still prescribing or over-prescribing sunscreens like it's going out of style without taking into account the ingredients in sunscreens. Again, it's like a doctor never saw a drug they didn't like. I mean, so.
Well, but think about where their information is coming from. They have universities that are being funded by big pharmaceutical companies, multinational companies, to do specific research. And certainly the research is refined and refined and refined to focus on what the success of a particular chemical agent might be in treating an issue, and that research showing the chemical to be successful credible institutions, Harvard, Yale, Cornell, and then that's replicated around the world. And, you know, there's a certain amount of trust. Here's the research. It's certified. These people doing the research are qualified, well-educated people. And there's a long list usually in the research study of qualified, well-educated people. So the physician receiving that information is going to take it at face value.
There's a built-in bias, like you said. It's almost, in today's vernacular, a built-in virus into the whole way things are presented to everybody. And that's why when you have to, if you're reading something, you have to see where the source of it is. Because if you're reading it on the internet, you have to look at, you know, where it's coming from. If you're reading it in a magazine, you have to look at who the advertisers are in the magazine, because they have control over what's actually said. We're going to talk a little bit about infections, only because I think that's one area that isn't being talked about enough in this context. How many infections can a human being harbor in their body?
Infinite number?
I'm not sure. In other words, we test our patients, and we see many, I would say, 60 to 70% of the infections we test for, the patients are coming back positive for. So we do harbor a lot of infections in their body. So then the next question is, do we have the right appropriate way of identifying whether infections are doing harm or not? Because basically they say, well, if the infections is doing anything harmful to our bodies, you would have a fever, or you might have a elevated white blood cell count. But could those infections be doing harm to our bodies without having a fever or an elevated white blood cell count or swollen lymph nodes? Could that possibly, in other words, could we be missing the possibility of looking for an infectious agent when someone comes in complaining of arthritis?
Oh, for sure. And actually, the research has shown that there very often is an infectious component found in the synovial fluid. There are so many different ways where we can miss the presence of an infectious agent.
Let's take it one step further. How about abdominal pain? How about a headache? How about insulin resistance? How about high blood pressure? How about heart disease and cancer?
I'm right there with you, Dr. Slave, and I would say an infectious component to all of those issues, either actively contributing to those diagnoses or so much causing deterioration of function of the different organs, function of the different systems, that the infection is overlooked for that bigger picture.
Now, normally at this time we would hear music.
That's true. So we could say that because of the time, it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio, and hopefully there'll be there you go. Yay. Okay, a little bit of music. This is Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., right here on this station.
Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We are talking today about infections. Maybe they're stealth infections. Maybe you've been told you have diabetes and you might not understand that there could be an infectious background to that diagnosis. Maybe you have headaches. Maybe you have stomach pain. Maybe you have IBS. All of those may very well have an infectious component that may initiate the symptoms of the disease. Dr. Slavin?
In looking or trying to answer the question, why do we get sick? I'm not sure, you know, where we start on that. I think the place to start is looking at our bodies to see that it's functioning at an optimal level. And what does it take to function at an optimal level? It takes good nutrition, proper stress control, avoidance of environmental toxins, regular exercise, and a healthy diet. I think you can look at all those things because that's going to fortify the body even against infections that we may be exposed to. But unfortunately for most Americans, they haven't optimized each of those areas. I don't think they've optimized their level of exercise or their eating habits haven't been optimized. And of course, when we say optimized, I'll let Janet define that for us. Has stress control been optimized? Have we optimized or reduced sufficiently our exposure to environmental toxins? You know, if you look at one area after another, the answer is no, we haven't. There's much improvement to do it. And because of that, that just allows our bodies to be more susceptible to the problems of environmental toxins. So the environmental toxins that affect our bodies weaken our immune system, making us susceptible to infections, making it more difficult for our immune system to keep them under control. Because you have to answer, to answer the question, why do we get sick? There's a dysregulation in our body. Some people have blamed mitochondrial dysfunction, sort of at the basic level of control in our body or how our bodies function. I think you also have to look at, you can look at yourselves and think about periods when you've gotten sick versus periods when you haven't and see what you can find. A lot of people will report a lot of stress they were under, or maybe they weren't getting enough sleep. You know, things like that weaken the immune system. But just okay, but then why does a weakened immune system or a less than optimal lifestyle, what does it allow to happen that allows illness to set in? I think that's where I'm trying to help people think. Okay, you didn't get enough sleep, so what does that cause?
A dysfunction in a particular system. And with regard to lack of sleep, it's multiple systems. The energy required to digest and properly utilize your food is compromised. The ability to detoxify certain negative aspects that you're exposed to, environmental toxins, internal metabolic toxic debris, you're not energized sufficiently to eliminate that accumulation. So one of the things that I'm thinking, Dr. Slavin, is so many times the medical community, the scientific community, is looking at disease through a telescope, a very narrow view of, oh, this person's vitamin D level is low, that's why they got skin cancer or breast cancer or colon cancer. And so much brain power and money is focused on that vitamin D research when it's that person's vitamin D level was low. They had a very poor quality microbiome. They didn't get enough sleep and they ate a lot of sugar. That's the reason that the illness developed a variety of different components suppressing immune function.
But if you were to follow this to its natural conclusion, by weakening the body in all the different ways you mentioned, it's just allowed. You see, the body is designed to fight off the environmental insults that we face on a day-to-day basis. So when you weaken the body, all those things in the environment are allowed to prosper and make us sick. So I think you could say that infections are really behind most of the reasons we get sick, because we haven't fortified our body properly to withstand that insult.
Okay, so
I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say someone does not have an immune system. You put them in a reverse airflow chamber and you keep them away from any infection and they remain okay. You see, you know, but without an, you know, if you have no immune system, the minute you're out in the environment, you're going to contract something and you're going to die from it. That's what happens in AIDS when you don't have a functioning immune system. So I think that we don't give enough emphasis to infectious diseases occurring in our bodies. Now, there was a study done.
And before you go to that study, Dr. Slavin, I don't think that there's enough emphasis given to creating and maintaining a healthy immune system because of big pharma corporations with a profit motive in mind purveying what is so-called food into our grocery stores, and we're consuming that and it does nothing to actually nourish us.
Well, correct, because basically they're into a quick fix, but that quick fix is really a quick deception. Because if you have a headache and you just treat it with an aspirin or a Tylenol and it goes away, you think you've cured the problem. But just think about how many people take an aspirin or a Tylenol every day because the symptom recurs over and over again because they haven't addressed the underlying cause. What about the people that take the various over-the-counter arthritis medications because they have aches and pains all the time and that's their solution to the problem? What about all the digestive aids that they're taking, the acid blockers?
That's what their doctors are telling them.
Because they were, that virus that's been embedded into the teaching of doctors by the pharmaceutical companies is behind all this. So let's, you know, that's what I'm saying. Let's think of a different way of approaching things. So in this particular study, they identified 7 different virus families in the participants who were not sick, by the way, including human papillomavirus and herpes virus. And like I mentioned before, herpes virus includes 8 different viruses. They're not all sexually transmitted diseases. Among the 92% of the participants, at least one virus was detected, with some participants harboring around 10 to 15 viruses. And on average, they say the participants harbored 5 viruses. That's 5 viruses that they detected. They said they could have detected many more if they sampled more body sites in each person. If they had looked at the entire body, they probably would have found more. For example, the team detected 7 families of viruses. Viruses responsible for non-sexually transmitted herpes, you have herpes 6 and 7. These viruses were detected among 98% of participants who were sampled from the mouth. Then you had strains of human papillomavirus in around 75% of skin samples and 50% of nose samples, while new strains of the virus were found in both skin and nose samples. Around 38% of female participants had human papillomavirus strains in vaginal samples, with many of these harboring strains associated with increased risk of cervical cancer, such as the HPV-16 or the HPV-18. Then they found another virus, the adenoviruses. Those are responsible for pneumonia and the common cold, and they found those in the majority of samples. So the researchers said it's possible that the viruses identified were lurking infections from years before. They just lie dormant. They reside in cells rather than in bodily fluids. And when your immune system weakens, this is when they become active. Now, isn't it interesting that this study is the first to use high-throughput DNA sequencing to describe the diversity of DNA viruses in a large group of individuals who were sampled at multiple body sites? This analysis demonstrates that there is a normal viral flora in generally healthy, asymptomatic individuals. Well, that's the assumption they make. You see, that part was an assumption. Are all those viruses that have the potential to be pathogenic, are they just normal, or can they be causing problems at a very subtle level that we're not aware of?
Interesting things to ponder, and you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back. Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, Spectracell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more, or visit amtcenters.com. The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care, reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world. That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or 3 blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991
to learn more. 954-748-4991.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Zimmerilli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about viruses and how we might think, oh, we're doing fine. We're not dealing with any kind of viral infection. And indeed, your immune system could be struggling and ultimately opening up the door to more serious diagnoses.
Well, I think the point we're trying to make, and I think the point that this study was making, is they don't know whether or not all these viruses that people harbor are can be beneficial or detrimental to our health. They don't know the answer to that. They say, well, you know, the viruses may boost the immune system's response to harmful pathogens in some cases while increasing the risk of infections in others. The answer is they don't know. And my feeling is that infections are playing a greater role in illness than we attribute it. You know, we just think that when you get a say a rash or a fever or a white count, they say, well, it's a virus, it'll last a couple of days and it's over with, and your immune system will take care of it. But I think there's more to it to that. If during that time when your immune system is under stress because it's fighting off an infection, what is it also allowing to happen in the body? So a whole area that hasn't been looked at enough. And by the way, they don't have, mainstream medicine do not have very effective drugs to treat viral infections. They do have antivirals. Just how effective are they?
I think how much of a side effect component might be part of using an antiviral drug. And this whole situation is much more comprehensive than most people realize.
Let's say you're in a building and you go in an elevator. How long does it
and
take?
And you push the button.
Yeah, how long does it take for a stomach bug to spread through a busy building or a hospital, especially a hospital, because that's the site of so many infections, or an office building? For example, if one contaminated person presses the elevator button or light switch, only a few hours, according to a new study presented at a meeting in the U.S. this week, and this is a couple of years ago, found that it could occur in just a few hours. So they give an example of the norovirus. You've heard of that. That's the one commonly talked about on cruise ships when the whole cruise ship gets sick. And that's the most common cause of the stomach flu or gastroenteritis. It can spread rapidly and are responsible for, imagine this, numerous closures of schools, office buildings, nursing homes, or other busy facilities. Contaminated surfaces on which they can exist for days are thought to be important in the spread of the norovirus. And the way you get infected is to touch the same surface. Now, here's an interesting thing. I saw this yesterday at a gas station. I don't know if you've ever seen this. You pump your own gas, right?
I certainly do.
And they said they had rubber gloves that they were giving out for free. It was the first time I've seen it anywhere.
Oh, I've seen those little plastic disposable things. Sure.
They said 80,000 people touch this handle every month, put on the glove to be safe.
And so I don't necessarily use the gloves, even though 80,000 people may have touched that pump handle. What I do is I take my probiotics, I take my silver, I take my vitamin D, take my multivitamin. Those are the things that I do, Dr. Slavin.
So what triggered the discussion today on infection was something that was, you know, just put out July 14th, and the topic was cat scratch fever. Now, I think most of us have heard that term, I would think. And it's a very appropriate term. It describes exactly the source of the infection. If you get scratched by a cat or bitten by a cat or even licked by a cat, you can contract cat scratch fever. It's caused by a bacteria. But they go on to say the infection doesn't usually cause any serious complications, except if you have a weakened immune system. And I think that's the key term. What is a weakened immune system? Are the degrees of weakness?
I would say.
Yeah. So if you have a slightly weakened immune system, you get slightly sick. And if you have a more severely weakened immune system, you get severely sick.
And if you have a third type of immune insufficiency, I'm going to say that bacteria may linger in your body for days, weeks, months, and at some point when your immune system drops below a certain threshold, that's when you may manifest much more severe illness.
And then the symptoms don't occur right away. It may take a few days for them to develop. About 3 to 10 days after a person is exposed to this, they may develop a bump or a blister where the initial contact was made. And this could be anywhere on the body, the arms, the hands, the head, the scalp. A few weeks later, you may have a swollen lymph node. Lymph nodes, as you know, are your body's, in this context, your first line of defense, trying to filter out the bacteria or other particles that are, you know, before they spread throughout the body. Depending where you come in contact, that'll be affected first. If your arms are scratched, you'll see it under your in your armpit. If your leg is scratched, you'll see it in the groin. And they can get pretty big sometimes and painful. And that's the distinction, too, that's important. A painful lymph node is usually from an infection. But if you have non-tender swollen lymph nodes, you got to think of non-infectious causes like lymphoma and other types of cancer. Sometimes a lymph node can be as big as 2 inches. And it could remain swollen for 2 to 4 months after initial infection.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, somebody comes to your office and says, okay, doctor, I have this swollen lymph node in my armpit. It hurts. It's red. It's very sensitive to the touch. What might you recommend that that person do?
Well, mainstream medicine's approach to that would be take a history, number one. See if you can figure out, did they just come in contact with something and the body is responding to it with swollen lymph nodes. And then the recommendation is going to be a trial of antibiotics to see if it goes away.
And see, a trial of antibiotics to see if it goes away. Very strange approach from a scientific perspective, I kind of think, and here's my thought. Oh, we'll throw this antibiotic at it, and we don't know if it's a bacterial infection or not. Well, if it responds, then we know it was bacterial, but if it doesn't respond, then we've got a problem.
Well, at that point, you have to consider a lymph node biopsy.
And how safe might that be, Dr. Slavin?
Well, I think the question is, how do we make the diagnosis?
Well, okay, yes, how do we make the diagnosis? But wouldn't we just assume that the patient has a swollen lymph node and their immune system is not up to the job? So what about supporting their immune system? One of the things that I'm thinking about, because I don't do heroic pharmaceutical approaches. What about compresses to make the swollen lymph node decrease in size, possibly castor oil to dissolve it, possibly silver to kill viruses, parasites, fungus, whatever it might be in that swollen lymph node? After having, of course, a discussion of history, where's that patient been? What's the patient been doing? What happened just before in the 2 weeks before the lymph node presented as swollen and painful?
That's certainly an option for people, and I would give it a week or so to see how you respond. Unfortunately, most patients aren't in that mindset.
Well,
you're in that mindset, I'm in that mindset, but a lot of patients say, give me an antibiotic. Do something.
Quick.
Yeah. But here's another problem. I'm going to call them just these infections that we're exposed to many times unknowingly. They could present with abdominal pain, loss of appetite, a fever, tiredness, headache, joint pain, rash, sore throat. And I think we typically do not consider the possibility of infection and just treat the symptoms. If you have a headache, they'll give you something for the headache. If you have joint pain, something for that. A sore throat, doctors will throw an antibiotic at that in many cases instead of just doing the appropriate evaluation.
One of the things that I'm thinking, Dr. Slavin, is an area that you've discussed many times, hormone imbalance. How much of an issue is hormone imbalance that ultimately creates immune system dysfunction? I think that's big.
It goes the other way around. You know, this is the situation of which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Okay.
So did the hormone imbalance cause the immune system to dysfunction, or did the reason for the immune system dysfunction also cause the hormonal imbalance? And I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
But, you know, we're talking about this just one possibility. Cat scratch fever... basically for most people is a benign self-limiting disease. And you don't have to be that concerned about it as long as you take a good history and you follow it up. But in some cases, and this is the problem with all infections, that they can become more complicated. You can have an enlarged spleen. You can have more serious symptoms, such as if you have a headache, you might call that meningitis or encephalitis, possible. And this particular illness is hard to diagnose. So that is what makes it really difficult. Now, couple other things. So you could have encephalopathy, a neuroretinitis, osteomyelitis, a form of conjunctivitis. You know, and these simple common illnesses could lead to more serious problems, very difficult to diagnose.
That music means it's time for a break on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment, 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We are talking today about viruses and bacteria and how infectious microorganisms may be the underlying contributing factor to you having developed heart disease, diabetes, migraine, headaches, and it could be hormone imbalances caused by infection or possibly infection causing hormone imbalances?
So I think the weakened immune system is the common denominator for all of these things. So you have to think of how we weaken our immune system. So we mentioned lack of sleep, excessive alcohol intake, not enough exercise, a diet that is not too much artificial ingredients in the diet, stress. What have I left out? Oh, I know what. How about drinking fluoride in your water?
How about chlorinated water?
That too. And a report just recently published in Lancet, and here they call Lancet the world's most renowned medical journal. It's one of the good ones. It actually comes out of England. And they classify fluoride as a neurotoxin. I think I would call it a body toxin. I wouldn't just single out the brain. And here's part of the reason. Because along with fluoride, there are other toxic compounds that come in with it, like arsenic, lead, and mercury. Because it's an industrial waste product, and we're not purifying the waste to only include fluoride. It's just dumped into the water system, and the reason they do that, they figure it's diluted enough that it won't cause any harm to humans, and then they sell it to humans saying, oh, and it's going to prevent tooth decay. So a large number of cities, including many in Florida, keep putting fluoride into the water systems, and the government claims there are no health risks to this unnecessary practice. There are no health benefits, I think they could say also, and why are we risking the health of people? That's why more and more, that's why I think water sales are booming, you know, bottled water sales, and people aren't drinking their tap water, or they're putting some kind of filtration device, but most of them don't take out the fluoride unless you're using distillation or reverse osmosis.
It's very difficult to remove the fluoride, and so it is essentially mass medication of the population. That's a pretty serious situation. Everybody is the object of this medical experiment, and that's what it is. There is research that shows those people over the age of 65 have a greater incidence of hip fracture in areas where there is fluoridated water.
Going back, say, 50 years, if you go back 50 years, they didn't have knee replacements, they didn't have hip replacements, and you just didn't see the need for them like you do today. Perhaps that may be the answer to how come. Maybe all this fluoride is affecting bone health and allowing the bones to wear out at an accelerated rate.
Interesting.
Now, what is fluoride? It's an industrial-grade chemical that is commonly contaminated with trace amounts of toxic heavy metals like lead, arsenic, and radium even. And they accumulate in our bodies over time. Particularly things like lead accumulate in the bones. And these toxins are associated with cancer, among other health conditions.
And certainly osteoporosis. When there's lead in the bones, calcium can't get into the bone.
Now, isn't it interesting that toothpaste labels commonly contain a warning regarding the dangers of swallowing too much toothpaste? This is because of the fluoride content. Fluoridation isn't actually a common practice in Europe, with countries such as Austria, Belgium, Finland, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, and the Netherlands opting out of adding fluoride to the drinking water.
And when you compare the rates of cavity development in the population, they are absolutely fine.
Well, that's been shown over and over again. There is no benefit to adding fluoride to water. A systematic review identified five different similar industrial chemicals as developmental neurotoxicants. Now, so if the mother has these neurotoxicants in her body, that means the baby is born with them as well. And these include lead, mercury, arsenic, toluene. Six additional developmental neurotoxins have also now been identified. They include fluoride, and they're associated with neurodevelopmental disabilities, including attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, dyslexia, and other cognitive impairments, and are now affecting millions of children worldwide. This is a pandemic of developmental neurotoxicity. And that's another thing. So we're seeing more knee and hip problems. We're seeing developmental problems than ever before. Some people like to blame it on vaccinations. Maybe we can blame it on the water you're drinking. But maybe the two have something in common. These heavy metals that are in both. They're putting mercury in the vaccines. There's mercury in the water. They're putting other heavy metals in the aluminum in the vaccines. They're putting formaldehyde in the vaccines. So why do our elected officials keep putting fluoride in the water? And Janet?
Corporate support,
possibly. I was wondering if you've ever or anybody's ever asked the question, what's their reason for putting fluoride in the water when they know it's a potential health hazard and has no health benefit associated with it?
I don't necessarily know the answer. One of the things that I was thinking is that the fluoride representative approaches a municipality government and wants to sell this waste product, chemical waste product, to this water treatment plant. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, how does he get these people to agree to put this chemical in the water? And it's either a financial advantage or it is fear. And so fear that if we tell the world that you as a city council or municipal government have refused to put fluoride in the water, that you're exposing your citizens to an increased risk of developing cavities, and that there is that. There's a political aspect to it, possibly a financial aspect to it. Very difficult to figure out, to meander down those roads and figure out how it is that the governments decide to put fluoride in the water.
And it's also found in bottled water. And I'm not sure how you avoid fluoride, or which bottled water does not contain fluoride. And then they'll say, well, fluoride is naturally found in the environment, so therefore you might find it in water. So I just think that you ought to have one of the elected officials from Boca come on the radio show and enlighten all of us.
Okay, we'll get that done.
From what we can tell, let me put it this way. The way I look at things when we try to treat people is imitate nature. Nature is, in my opinion, for the most part, has always gotten it right from the standpoint that when we try and improve upon nature, it usually creates more problems than it solves. And you could just list one after another in that category. And when it comes to adding fluoride to water, that's not the way fluoride or water is found in nature. If you think about when they talk about the longest lived peoples around the world and the type of water they're drinking, you know, it's really pure, pristine water. Sometimes they talk about high mineral content because it's coming down from glaciers melting. And, if you want to stay as healthy as possible, that's what you have to look at. What was nature's original intent?
Well, for tomorrow's show, Dr. Slavin, I'm going to take a look at what fluoride does to our immune system. So I wonder what impact that might have, that fluoride in the water might have. And we are almost out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin about all manner of things that affect your good health and well-being. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.